you know, and I learned something very early. When you do something good, people are happy, but they may not tell someone else. But if they are dissatisfied, they will tell at least 5 people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so because of that, I do more to try to satisfy a customer that had complaints.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Solar Roundtable Africa. My name is Jadi Solar Rawa, and this is brought to you by Olon. And today we have a very special guest in the studio. He says it's his first time at a podcast. So I'm very excited that we're the ones, you know, like, I cannot use the word on air, but, you know, so I'm very excited to talk to him today. And today we're going to be talking to Chuks Umezolora. Yes. And Chuks is the owner and founder of Oxano Limited. And yeah, I'm very excited to have you here, Chuks. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming. So today our conversation is going to be around something a bit different. We're talking about manufacturing because that's the core of what Chuks is into and what he does. But, you know, before we start talking about manufacturing and all of that, I want to talk to you about, tell us a bit about how you started. Because your story is a very interesting one. And I think it's something that the world needs to hear. Because if I remember correctly, you started from the markets. And then you've grown to the space where, you know, you own a factory and it's probably arguably the first factory manufacturing solar PVs in Nigeria. So tell us a little bit about your background and where you're coming from.
All right. So thank you so much for having me, Jade. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here at the Solar Africa Roundtable. Yeah. So once again, my name is Chuks Umezolora, co-founder, CEO of Oxano Solar Nigeria Limited. So for us, Oxano Solar were formally incorporated in 2014. You know, based in Lagos, Nigeria. So, but before the formal incorporation, you know, I've been in the field. I've been active in the field. I ventured into solar ecosystem by accident. You know, I think that was sometime in 2006. You know, just fresh from school, I finished my National Youth Service Corps in Nigeria. So I came to Lagos. I came to Lagos to look for a job. You know, I mean, I
like everybody does.
Yeah. So because I grew up in Onitsha, Southeast Nigeria, Anambra State, you know, so I recall then my dad told me that I'm too innocent to do business, you know, you know, so that it's better I go and find a job. I mean, and that was why I came to Lagos. So but when I wrote a few bank interviews, I said, no, this doesn't make
it wasn't,
sense.
It wasn't jelly.
Yeah, it wasn't jelly. You know, I recall when I wrote in Unilag, I think for First Bank, you know, they said they were looking for 100 placements. We had like 5,000 that wrote it. When I came out here, I said, what am I doing here? I said, this is madness. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
100, 5,000. I said, no. That's, I mean, you know.
You're very interested in taking your chances.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so what I did then is, and I said, okay, I mean, I reached out to a few friends who are in the market. I remember precisely then, although at the market, where they sell building materials. So I told them, I said, yeah, I mean, you know, instead of staying at home, writing bank interviews, can I follow you out to the market, come out to the shop?
Hold on a second. What did you even study in school?
Okay, I studied industrial chemistry.
And you were looking for banking?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Nigerian story. Yeah, you know, few years back, I mean, banks were actually like the only one giving jobs.
Yeah.
Initially, it was oil company.
Yeah.
And I also tried my beat. I mean, I spent some time in Abuja, like 6 months after youth service, going to NMPC,
looking for a job
after 6 months. So one of the things about me is I'm a bit pragmatic. So I tell myself, no, this is not working.
Yeah.
You know, I spent 6 months in Abuja. They were asking me for a referral. Who is your father? Complimentary card. I just realized that no, I don't have any place here. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that my surname doesn't ring any bells.
Like most of us. So fast forward, going to the market and saying, what am I, what can I do here?
You know, so that was what, you know, brought me. So in building the building materials, so supplying building materials. So I have a few friends who I started supplying building materials to. So on that particular day, one of them, I had to pick up a building plan from his architect. So I went there in Amodafin, in Lagos. So I saw some Chinese there discussing. I asked him, sorry, what are they talking about? He says solar. It got my interest. I said, solar. I said, when I was in school, I read a bit about this that I'm interested. So I sat back, you know, listened to their training. They were talking about solar system, the installation, design and all that. So I asked the man, I said, please, you know, are they coming again tomorrow? He said, yeah, they're here for 3 days. I said, please, can I come for the 3 days? He said, sure. So I went there for the 3 days, yeah. So after that, I asked him, sir, you know, that, I mean, can I work with you? He said, no, that he just started, he can not afford to pay and all that. I told him, no, there's no problem. That let's structure something. I can work for free, but I mean, I'm going to work 3 times in a week. So we agreed. Wow. Yeah. So I was working Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I used Tuesdays and Thursdays for my side hustle. Put food on the table for the family.
It's so interesting. Do you know how many conversations you and I have had? I've never gotten this in depth with you about how you started.
Yeah. So that was how I got into solar. So, you know, I worked for the company, Sky Resources. So, you know, I was part of their installation team. So I started out working with the installation team. So we're doing installations and all that, you know. Then after 2-3 years, I told him, I mean, I've tried, you know, I think it's time for me to leave and start on my own. That was how I now led me to the next stage of going into the market, Alaba International. So Alaba International, I mean, like some of you may be aware, is arguably the largest market in West Africa. So it's a market where you can find anything. Anything you cannot find in Alaba doesn't.
It does not exist.
It doesn't exist. True. And then, you know, I know people have their mindset about the market, but to be honest, I mean, as someone who spent over 8 years there, sitting there every day, I can tell you one thing about the market. You have the good, the bad, the ugly there. So depending on what you're looking for and what you're willing to pay. Because, so what I found is that most times people are too conscious about price, so they give you what...
They will give you, because one of the things I heard about, one of the things I heard about China recently is someone said, look, the interesting thing about the Chinese market is they will give you what you're paying for. People talk about how poor the quality is, but it's what you're willing to pay for.
Yeah, it's what you paid for. You know, what I tell most of my Chinese suppliers is this. I tell them, I say, please, the price is not the most important thing to me.
It's the quality.
Once I get to a price range that is not possible, tell me.
Absolutely.
I get them and all that. So the challenge with some of them is as you're pushing them on price, they're reducing it. They may not come back and say, if you drop this price, this is what we're removing.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is they're actually removing something.
Wow.
You know, that's the truth.
So that's how the dynamics for that works.
Yes, that's how it works. So you need to let the supplier know what is most important to you. You know, so that was how I started. So I got into the market in Alaba International. So, I mean, I saved a few money. I was able to get an office. So I had a table, a chair in my office then. So what I did was very simple. I mean, I went around the market, introduced myself to the importers in the market, you know, as an engineer, as a technician. So my job was pretty simple. If you come to the market now, you know, you want to buy something, the guy will call me. He's an engineer, I come. So I'll come, you talk what you need. I'll just design. So, okay, you need 9 panels, you need 2 batteries, you need 1 inverter. Then the importer sell to you. Then I follow you home to do the installation. Yeah. So that was basically how I started.
This is the moment where I say that when people say to me all the time that there isn't anything to do in Nigeria, I'm confused because you literally made something out of nothing. And so when young people say, oh, I don't have anything to do, I'm like, this story tells you that there's always something to do.
Yeah. You know, so I tell people this, I mean, and sometimes, I mean, maybe I'm an incurable optimist, you know.
And your father said you were innocent, so let's join innocent with incurable optimist. Keep going.
You know, so one of the things I learned, I mean, that time was, don't stay at home.
Yeah.
Go out. Volunteer.
You have
to find something to do.
Yeah.
You know, so I learned very early, it's better to work for free than to stay idle. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather take up a job without pay than stay at home.
Sure.
Because opportunities meet you doing something.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's one of the things that I learned. Because from following people to do those installations, and guess what? Let me tell you something. I do solar installations, but I have height phobia. I do not climb roofs.
So how did you navigate that? Because I know for a fact that you have to climb something.
Yeah. So and why I'm saying that is, you know, so I'm telling people, so it doesn't really have to be something you're good in.
Yeah.
To be honest.
True.
I mean, there's this popular saying that when there is a will, there's a way.
True.
I get him and all that. So I wanted to do this. But I couldn't get over the phobia I have for height. So what I did was, when I get a job, I go to the vicinity, ask the man, okay, do you have an electrician? Do you have a carpenter? If they do, if they don't, I look around there. Yeah. So I find a carpenter and electrician.
Okay.
I'll call them. I'll tell the carpenter, okay, you help me climb the roof. This is how you mount the profile. This is how you fix the panel. So sometimes I try to just get a bit to look at, to inspect what he's doing. Yeah. I say, you plug this one to that. You plug this one to that. That was how I started.
Wow.
That led me to the next principle I learned in business, and that is responsibility. So soon after, I had to hire people. You know, so I learned something that, you know, so when you have people you're responsible for, it makes you more accountable.
True.
Yeah. So because I need to pay salary.
I was going to be like, there's nothing that scares you more than the end of the month when 22 is rolling by.
Once he enters the 20 something, I have natural bells that ring in my head.
Straight up.
You know? So, I mean, even if I was not feeling well, once you get that 20 something.
Jump out of me.
I still remember something that happened to me years back. You know, I mean, still young. I just got married. I had my first baby. You know, I wasn't feeling well. So I was lying down. You know, it was raining. A woman called me earlier that morning. I told her, you know, that, you know, I mean, that she wants me to come and do installation for her. I told her mother, I asked her, I said, Aja. And then I was living in Ojo, Alaba International side.
Whoa.
I said, I'm not feeling too well. I won't be able to come. If you can wait till tomorrow, maybe I can. I said, okay, I should try to see if you can get someone else. Maybe 1 hour later, my wife came in, said,
baby food.
You know, I said, serious? And I said, okay, check my wallet. She checked, there was no money there. And I said, what of the store we usually collect? He said, we've not paid for the last one.
And
she can't
get it. And on that note, that's how you reach out.
I picked up my phone. I called her back. I said, sorry, ma, he's the guy you called before.
I'm well now.
Have you gotten someone else? He says, no. I said, please send me the address. I'm willing to come. He says, then let's discuss the price. I said, no, the price is not a problem. She said, okay, I can pay 15,000. I said, I'm on my way. I get him and all that. You know, I felt it was better for me to borrow money for transport rather than to borrow for baby milk again.
Yeah.
I get him and all that. And that was how why I say that is immediately that reality dawned on me. All feelings of inner I was feeling just went off. So most of the times, the things we feel are more mental, you know, than real.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the
See, like you said, it's an important word that you used. You said responsibility.
Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty much one of the things that helps you to, like, you know, go after the things you need to go.
Yeah.
If you have a natural sense of responsibility, that's one.
Yeah.
Or they're just people depending on you, you know. And that brings me to the other question I was going to ask you. So, you know, like, I mean, you've shared a very interesting story of how you go into the space. So what, just in all the years you've been in the space, what would you say is some of the impact that your work has made that has made you say, okay, you know what? Yeah, I got into this space because I needed a source of livelihood, but I know that what I'm doing is making a difference, and it just gives you a warm feeling of, you know, I'm doing this. So it could be anything, just anything that, you know, that speaks to the impacts of your work.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so, you know, some of the things we do is very hard to do
if
you're not passionate. I always tell, I mean, my colleagues in the office, passion cannot be faked.
True.
It's either you're passionate.
Passion cannot
or you're
be
not.
Faked. Yep.
Yeah, it can be faked. You know, but you can develop passion. You can become more passionate with working with passionate people. You know, I mean, because, you know, sometimes energy can be transferred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, energy can be, if it is some physics, energy can be transferred. You know, so one of the things that, you know, motivated us was, apart from trying to just survive. So when I started doing the installations, I mean, from there, I started doing pretty well. Because, you know, what happens is that people relate to the one that listens.
Sure.
So those people I install for, even though I got to them through the importers, after some time, instead of them to call the importers to call me, they will not call me. So I will not call the importers. So after some time, I started stocking some things myself. I mean, so when you not call me, I have my own.
You have your own stock.
Yes,
yeah.
I'll come and install. You know, so that was one. So one of the things I learned very early is, people will never forget how you make them feel.
Sure.
You know, so I do my best to treat people well. You know, and I learned something very early. When you do something good, people are happy, but they may not tell someone else.
Yeah.
But if they are dissatisfied, they will tell at least 5 people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so because of that, I do more to try to satisfy a customer that had complaints.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, I'll give a very simple example. Yesterday afternoon, a customer called me. I mean, that some of my guys, the inverter was bad since February. They're trying to get a new board and all that, you know. And I told him, okay, send it to me. Sorry about that. I wasn't aware and all that. So he sent me. I learned that the customer has been a customer since 2019.
Wow.
When I called my guys, I said, what's the problem? He says, the board is not available, blah, blah. I said, please take a new inverter, go and install for the man. You know, because I realized that we've gotten like 5 referrals from him.
From this person, yeah.
And if we don't take care of it, he would tell those 5 plus another 5.
Yeah, yeah.
I get him and all that. So, you know, so I'm always careful about that. Why starting out in the space, one of the things that made us to start going into a bit of manufacturing was, so, of course, like most things, we started having some quality issues.
Absolutely.
So when we started having that, so it started with the batteries, the inverter. When I now saw that on solar panel, I said, no, if it happens in solar panel, it will kill the sector.
Yeah.
You know, so we now said, okay, so what can we do? So initially we thought of a simulator. So a simulator is called like a solar module tester, but it's quite bulky. It's larger than this table, maybe twice of this table size. So we wanted to buy that. We looked at it, we said, well, this is quite bulky. It won't fit into my office. We are going to keep it and all that. So on the second thought, we said, okay, maybe why not we take it a step further, you know, to just start assembling so that we can be sure of what we're offering to the customers.
To the public, yeah.
So one of the things that led us into all this is, okay, we want to be more in control. You know, so when a customer have a problem, I want to be able to solve the problem.
Yeah.
I get him and all that. I'm trying to solve, but I need to know more about the product, more about the technology. So that was what led us into all this, you know. So trying to solve that problem led us into this.
Manufacturing.
You know, You know, one of the things about life is, so when you solve this problem, you notice a new problem.
Yeah.
You know, try to solve that problem, you know. So, I mean, that's what brought us.
It's interesting that, you know, and I'm glad that you've kind of, I love the way this conversation is going, because it's literally just going seamlessly to, you know, so, I mean, people might not know, but Chooks, like I mentioned in the intro, has started one of the, arguably the first solar assembly plants in Nigeria. And I remember when I had come with my boss then, you know, on a visit to your former place in Ojo, and there were these young ladies that were, you know, like coupling things, you know. And it was interesting because I noticed the weirdest things, right? One of the ladies, her lashes was done, you know, she had full face of makeup. And you can imagine someone that is the epitome of femininity in a space that is very technical, you know, she's assembling things and she's, you know, putting things together. And I remember talking to her and she said, oh, she had gone to like a makeup school and all of that, but she was in your space. And I've never forgotten that, because it's like two different worlds colliding, you know. And, you know, just talking to the young people that, you know, that you work with, you can tell how much the work that they do means to them. So how has that, what has that done for you in terms of, like, let's leave the Naira and Kobo now. Yeah, you're doing this business because you want to make a living. But these young people, tell us a bit more about these people that work in your plant and how this has made a difference in their lives.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, I'm sure it's the same for most entrepreneurs. So the people that work with you are arguably one of the biggest reasons why you will never give up.
True.
You know, I mean, but sometimes my wife complains, says, why do you have too many staffs? Why do you have to pay a lot of wage bill and all that? You know, and there was something that happened. I think that was around sometime about it, that 2019 or so. I think Goodluck Jonathan was the president then. There was something that the government did where, I mean, it was like a business pitch. I've forgotten the name, but when you pitch, you know, so they'll provide some grants.
Grants, okay.
You know,
I think I vaguely remember,
you know, and all that. You know, so I got to the last stage, I remember, that I went to Abuja for the last stage. So on the last interview, so they asked me what I do, what I'm trying to do, my solution. I told them. The guy said, but that I don't sound as though I'm helpless. I said, yeah, that's, I'm not helpless.
Yeah.
You know, so they said that they are looking for those who are helpless, those who don't have anybody to help them. I said, okay, that I didn't get that profile. Well, I mean, I thought they were looking for entrepreneurs who are willing to create jobs.
Jobs, yeah.
You know, and all that, you know. I said, no, I've never thought of myself as being helpless, you know. So I told him something, but I mean, that if that is the criteria, you know, that I'm not sure I'm the best fit for it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They can find other people who are helpless, you know, so, but that I will still go on and do what I need to do, you know. So I told him, I said, I have a goal to create a business that at least I will have 100 people working with me, you know, and that was one of the reasons why I've gone ahead, you know, trying to do, you know, what I do. Yeah, you know, so the people that work with me are one of the, to be honest, I think more about people who work with me more than I think about my investors, to be honest, you know, because without those people, you are nothing.
Yeah.
I get him. That's the truth, you know, so what I try to do is I wake up thinking about them, I go to work thinking about them. So, and, you know, I tell people, I say, I mean, they will get paid first. You know, I'll get paid last.
Absolutely. And all that.
So if we don't have enough, they will get paid first. Yeah. You know, so why I wait? So that thinking is also what I also try to pass on to them. You know, that feeling of value. You know, because it's okay to make profit, but when you face challenges, the motivation to make profit may not be enough.
Yeah.
You need something deeper.
Deeper than that.
You need something deeper than that. Yeah. And that's when, you know, compassion comes in, empathy comes
and
passion comes in. Yeah. You know, so that thing, I always tell my people who work with me, you know, for example, for us, I mean, we tell ourselves that until the customer is satisfied that our job is not done. You know, so if I do a solution for you and you're not happy, I'm also not happy. Because at the end of the day, for me, the primary thing to me is not the money you're paying me.
Yeah.
You know, because, but I know I'm providing a solution, services to you. So if you're happy about it, I'm happy.
Yeah,
if you're not happy, I'm not. So
yeah, I mean,
I will keep going out until you're satisfied, you know. So that same thing is why I try to sell, you know, the people who are working to me. Yeah. I think my most important job is to keep the team motivated. You know, keep the team motivated, because I realized something, you know, that people will leave when they're not motivation, when they're not motivated. I realized sometimes with the right motivation, you can keep a staff even when the pay is not the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's about the environment sometimes, you know, you want to be, I mean, it goes beyond the naira and the kobo sometimes. You want to be in a place where you're happy and where you feel like, you know, you matter.
Yes.
Everybody is important.
Yeah.
Everybody is important. And you want to feel like you matter.
Yeah.
When you
and that's why sometimes you know, one of the things I hate to do the most as a business owner
is to fire someone.
To fire people.
Huh? But sometimes it's necessary.
Yeah, I know.
You have to do what you have to do. Sometimes that's the only solution.
You know, yeah. And so most times I delegate it to someone else. Because I can't stand.
So let's add, please. Let's add innocence. What was the other one? And then now scared to fire.
So my wisdom I learned is, you know, slow to hire.
So I take my time
to hire. Yeah.
Like, I could talk to you all day, but I know that, you know, we have to manage time. So I have a couple of questions, you know, before we round this up and everything. One of the questions, the first one is, to a young person listening now that just finished their youth service the way you did like decades ago and is in that position that is like, what can I do? What do I do? What are some of the opportunities within the renewable energy space that you think that a young person that has the same thought process, pragmatic, and just wants to do something with their life, what are some of the opportunities that in the renewable energy space now that you think that, maybe just give me two or three, that you think that they can tap into as like low-hanging fruits for people to at least make a living?
Yeah, you know, so for me, the low-hanging fruits haven't changed even over time. If I want to start again now, I'll still start from installation.
Mm.
Installation for me is the lowest hanging fruit. Why is that so? Everybody knows someone.
Yeah.
You know, so if you got into a space, you know someone who needs this solution.
Solution, yeah.
I get you. So even if you don't know anything about it, you can be the middleman. You can approach the person, then get someone else. To do it, I get you, and all that. So you can start with that. And then go out. I mean, you can join the company like I did. You can work for free. It may not be as long as I did, you know, for 2 to 3 years, even if it's for 1 month or two, because you need to learn.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to learn. And sometimes the best way to learn is to learn on the job.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. So for me, installation is still one of the low-hanging fruits. The other way is, you know, you can make some commission on sales. You know, I mean, so you find out somebody who needs this, you find out who has it.
Yeah, you know, be like a middleman type like person. Middleman,
yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, you know, so those for me are some of the things that I think, you know, that young people can start with.
Within
you know,
the why, space.
Yeah,
now.
So why they begin to build. Yeah, you know, I really, the only thing I see that is changing is that the industry seems to be changing. I think there are, so the bigger businesses are making it difficult for the smaller ones to coexist, you know, so.
But I mean, right from time, that's always been the challenge and everything. But, you know, you kind of still have to find a way to navigate it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the other thing they can also do is, so you start where you are with what you have, you know, so for example, so when you land this, because I'll give an example. So when I was working with the company, there was a time my boss ordered a 40-foot container of solar garden lights and all that. So I heard him complain that he's not sure where to sell this and all that. I told him, you know what? Let me talk to my dad. Because I know my dad has a warehouse in Onitsha that I can market these things in Onitsha. I spoke to my dad. He said, okay, it's fine. I can use this warehouse. I told him, okay, let's offload this in Onitsha. And I went back to Onitsha for a few months to go and market those products. You know, I was able to sell most of them for him. Why? I realized something in marketing. You must start from the known to the unknown.
Yeah.
It's hard to sell to strangers.
Hmm.
It's hard. You know, so your biggest assets is friends and family.
Family.
You know, who knows you? So if people know you for something else, I get it. Because one of the things I also learned very early is that integrity can also be an asset.
Yeah.
You know.
When people know that your word stands for something. Yeah. Absolutely.
So when I tell you that I'm giving this garden lamp, I'll give you 2 years warranty on it. They know that in the other things I've said in the past that I've delivered, so they will buy. So what I've learned is, I tried to market 1 week, nobody was buying. They will always ask me, has your father bought it? That's to my dad.
Yeah, dad.
I say, please, buy.
Yeah. So I can tell them truthfully that you bought.
Immediately he bought, they started buying. You know, so let them start where they are. With who they know.
Yeah. Well, we need to thank Papa Chooks for a lot of things because first he told you you're too innocent, so can't get something to do. But I mean, I think I could talk to you forever, like, because this conversation has just been so interesting. But just very quickly, as we round up, you've been in this manufacturing space for a minute now, and you commissioned your plant, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 2023. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you say is like one of the biggest challenges that you've faced in that time? And just very quickly, I always say, you will get problem. You must know the solution. So what is the problem? What is the solution? You never know. The right person might be listening to this.
Yeah.
That'll be able to say, you know what? That makes sense. Let's solve it. So.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, you know, our first venture into the machine was in 2016, and then later on in 2023, we now built the new factory at Ibejeleki Lagos. I mean, and thanks to the support from Holon, you know, and then USADF has also supported us and Bank of Industry over the years, you know, and like I said, but the support started from friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are the ones that were backing me before Holon came along, you know, yeah. The major challenges to manufacturing in Nigeria is financing, you know, because most of the financing frameworks that we have are short-termed, you know, so the banks, they want to give you money for you to return in 2 years.
That can't work for manufacturing at all.
You know, so because manufacturing, you have a huge capex, you know, that you need like 5 to 7 years spread, you know, to even recoup it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, making some distant profit. So that financing is one. Then the other thing that also happens is banks always want a signed off tick, you know, and that is a problem. It's easier for someone in mini grid space to go to a community and get signed off tick, go to REA, get an MOU.
Yeah.
But for us in manufacturing, it's not so easy. It's a bit difficult. You know, it's a bit difficult, you know, I mean, because you're trying to sell to almost everybody
yeah.
You're selling to nobody.
Yeah.
You think about all that, you know, so it's, you know, so that's that. And, you know, so, but that guaranteed offtake is a huge thing for finance, and the banks always ask for that. So sometimes in my head, when I talk with people, I say, because And that offtake, that guarantee is also the problem where we struggle with financing.
Yeah.
Because even
it's Bank of like Industry. It's kind of like a cyclical problem.
Yeah, it's cycle. Yeah. Even Bank of Industry, they have money. They're willing to give you money for 5 years, you know, at a reduced interest rate, but they need a bank guarantee. That financing thing needs to be solved, especially on the side of this and the guarantee. Mm. You know, so recently when I was talking with someone, I was saying, so why can't government provide me the guarantee? Why can't government provide the manufacturers the guarantee? Or why can't government create a fast track, a special policy framework for manufacturers? Because Bank of Industry is owned by Nigerian government. So why can't Nigerian government tell Bank of Industry, okay, we want to open up the space. For this time, we're providing them this guarantee, maybe each of them 20 megawatts. So whatever it is, so the 20 megawatts, we are taking the guarantee provide them the finance, are you getting and all that, you know, because if not, we'll keep going around in circles. You know, if not, we'll keep going around in circles, you know. So that's one. The other thing is government can also become a solid off-taker. Government, if you look at government agencies, you will see billions of naira for solar projects. So we keep saying, why can't agencies, maybe like Rural Education Agency, for example, why can't they assign a certain percentage of their budget for local purchases?
For off-taking.
Yes, for off-taking.
Locally manufactured products, goods. Yeah.
So when you are bidding for a job, Aria will tell you, okay, tell us the spec of the panels that you need, but don't quote for the panels. Because we will supply you the panels. Are you getting me? So that way, Aria provides guaranteed off-take for the manufacturers. And Aria also gets some savings because they are buying those panels now directly.
Locally, having to bring it.
Yeah, you know. And even the predictability on time
timing
is also
more
assured. So that is more sustainable. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, we could go on and on, but I'm just glad that we had this conversation. Like I said, I've known you for a number of years, and just the depth of how you started and how inspiring that is. All I can do and say is I applaud you because it takes a lot. I know you went into this for the Naira and Kobo, but like you said, you know, you've developed a passion for the space that you're in. And I hope that any young person out there listening, you know, to this will be able to relate and say, okay, you know what, if Chooks can do it, why can't I do it, you know? And hopefully we can replicate a lot more Chooks in the years to come. Thank you very much for joining me on this podcast today. I'm super excited we had this conversation. And I hope that if you've listened to this podcast today, you've learned a thing or two, you're inspired, and you also will go out there and just, you know, take the bull by the horns the way that Chooks did and be innocent and have integrity like Chooks Daddy said. So until you join me for the next episode of the Solar Roundtable, it's bye from now. Thank you.